What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Life of Dad podcast. I'm one of the co-hosts. I'm Lee. That's Mike. We're a worldwide community of dads. There's the other guy over there, Tom. This is where we meet every week. We're the three hosts. We like to think of you guys as what? Like the fourth host, kind of? Mm-hmm. That's what I've always thought about it. And and here we are. We're doing another podcast with you guys, Life of Dad podcast. How's that, Tom?
Dude, nailed it, Lee.
Not bad?
Yeah.
Well, I kind of felt necessary to hop in and try to do the intro because little peek behind the curtain, Mike did open up our episode about a minute and a half ago when the microphone was 5 feet away from his face.
Who? You're blaming Mike. I like that. Yeah, it was actually me.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Mike was the one who pulled the microphone away from him. That wasn't a bad intro. I will admit it was not as good as Tom's.
I liked it, man.
Tom, you've got it down pat, brother.
Did he forget anything?
Well, if you want to leave a message with the show, call us, 857-DAD-CHAT. You can email us, podcast@lifeofdad.com. Mike, anything else?
It looked like that was irking you, like you were just holding that in. Like,
I know, it was kind of fun to do because I was looking right into the camera and I could just see Tom squirming over there.
Well, man, if he doesn't say anything,
you
man.
Son of a gun.
You blew it, man. You tried.
Blew it.
We're all trying. We're all dads. I got three kids. Mike is two. Lee's got one.
Baby.
And we always like starting with the community. You guys gave us some fun stuff before the show started. We put the question out there to the Life of Dad, Dad's Only group. Worst tan line you have ever gotten.
Nice.
And Liam, speak from Colchester, Essex.
Colchester.
I think that's England, right?
Colchester, Essex.
Yeah. Colchester, Essex. I once fell asleep in the sun with a plate of leftover lunch nestled nicely on my chest.
Shoo.
Made me look like Iron Man.
Oh, man. Over there in Essex, dude, at the lunch, it was just a bunch of beans. It was just a bunch of beans with a big old ice cream scoop of tuna fish in the middle of it.
So you eat like that in good old England?
With a plate on your chest? No, I don't know. I would imagine that this was like a pool outing on one of the 10 days a year where they had sun. And he sat outside to have some nice outside beans, and then he fell asleep.
On his chest, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a wild move right there. And, I mean, now we're talking flies. Now we're talking, you know.
Just made that bean part up then.
Well, no, I would imagine he was eating exclusively beans, right? I mean, over there in Colchester, Essex.
It just doesn't sound like a good time. Like, you eating beans on your chest by the pool?
In the heat.
You would go plateless?
He would go beans right on the skin.
No, I just wouldn't eat beans by the pool.
That doesn't sound fun.
When you're laying down and eating, what's your strategy?
If I'm laying down and eating,
we need a nice handheld.
Preferably.
You talking like a hot dog, hamburger, some sort of sandwich? Like
that. It really doesn't even matter. If I'm laying down, I'm on my left side.
Okay, so you're laying down like that then kind of eating like
this? No, I mean, I'm propped up, but I'm laying down and because this is my utensil hand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, That's your dominant hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, are you feeding yourself?
Yeah.
Hey, Tom lives a different lifestyle than us, brother. Tom's got one of the kids with a big palm frond giving him air.
Handing him grapes and stuff.
Yeah, Lucy's giving him grapes right off the vine. That's a king right there, man.
How are you imagining this scene?
I'm asking you. I just want more facts.
Yeah,
so you're
yeah.
laying on your side. You got your serving hand free. What are you eating? What are you wearing?
I mean, what am I wearing?
What is he wearing? wearing?
Where's this going, Tom? No, nah, man, I'm just, whatever I'm lounging in, I'm laying on my side, I'm eating. It doesn't matter what I'm eating. It definitely doesn't matter what I'm wearing.
Yeah. Well, if he's laying down poolside, Tom, not to get you too pumped up, but he's probably doesn't have a shirt on, being honest. Neither did my boy Liam, which is why he got the nice Iron Man tan.
But why was he eating beans? Oh, I keep thinking.
I injected that he was eating beans because he was from across
the
pond.
Sorry about that, Liam, man. You probably wasn't eating beans.
I made a giant sweeping generalization about how they eat beans over there.
In Essex.
In bloody Essex.
We got Robbie Gervais up next. He played rugby in high school. This is how he got his worst tan line ever. They made it to Nationals in Texas and didn't put any sunscreen on my thighs. I got burned so badly, I had a tan line for years.
Hmm. Permanent skin damage.
Yeah, that's what I think that is.
And that happened in 03. That's 20.
That's not a tan, dude. That's third degree.
Yeah, that's a quarter century ago. You damaged the largest organ on your body.
Oh, man, yeah.
Robbie Gervais.
I'll go check that out.
Not bad at all. And then Cameron White, ironically enough, should be Cameron Red. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
He said, back in my landscaping days, I wore high top boots and socks. And then this picture, that's him there on the right. That's a heck of a look.
Dude, I thought he still had socks on.
Yes, that is nature's socks right there. Man. Peep in right there.
That is a flip flop family right there. Man. All five of you, put on your flops.
except the other boys.
Put on your flops.
Flop up, gentlemen. Except the other guys appear to have exposed their feet to the UV. not Mr. White over there. Yeah, that is a serious look right there.
It is. Look at that. Yeah. All flops and cargos.
Okay, we can zoom out from the feet. Thank you, Tristan.
Man, I'm a big flip-flop guy.
Yeah.
I don't wear the thong variety like those boys appear to be. Mm. I've got the straps, the Birkenstocks, and I wear those pretty much every day. Unless I'm doing this podcast or on stage, I'm wearing flip-flops, no socks.
Aren't those your Birkenstocks right over there?
Yeah, they're right there. Huh. And so I've got a tan line on my feet of the Birkenstocks, and that's when I know that summer is in full gear, is when I've got that tan line on my,
feet.
That's when we're really cooking, man. Mm.
My worst tan line was there. I think I was in college and like I was pretty tan on the outer arms and legs, but like the ladies weren't coming to me. So I was like, what's wrong? Right. So I thought I had to tan the inner arms. Right. So I just kind of laid out
just
on a raft
out there, showed the guns up a little bit.
Yeah. And I kind of fell asleep like this and
burned yourself pretty bad.
Armpit burn. It was pretty painful. Dude, I couldn't put my hands down for a while.
Do you know anybody who's ever burnt their armpits?
No. Burnt their armpits in a quest to get more girls.
I think it's hilarious that you thought that was the issue. The inner forearm.
Yeah, right there.
Was the problem. We're like, man, if I could just get these a little darker.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could get any woman I want.
We're like-minded, Mike.
We got to get 360 degrees of these forearms tan, and then they'll be lining up.
Listen,
for your boy.
It worked. You got Lucy. Listen.
Well, that was pre-Lucy. That was freshman year of college. I did have a girlfriend by senior year. So 3 years later.
Did they look at out. Was she like, look you, at those forearms? They are tan.
Those things are cooked.
I would kind of lead like this, you know, when I was meeting new people.
How we doing? Hit him with a bodybuilder pose.
That's so wild.
We got Ray C.J. Wilson.
Oh, my gosh.
Nicotine patch on the arm after working on a roof during a heat wave about 10 years ago. Nearly took a year to go back to normal. How big is a nicotine patch? Is that just like a little square or something?
Like three or four stamps combined, I would say. That's a good visual, right?
Yeah.
It's about that big.
Yeah.
The folks at home listening, they could understand that. Like, that's the first thing it says.
You just use three or four stamps.
Yeah, it's about three or four stamps big right there. Yeah.
That was such a but I mean, it worked.
It's a good metric. Yeah,
it made sense, but it didn't at the same time. It was like four stamps.
Oh, good. The first person to ever Google that, nicotine patch versus four stamps.
That's hilarious.
The only time it's ever been Googled in the history of the internet. And I don't know. I think I was fairly accurate with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Not bad.
Yeah.
You got to figure the nicotine patch getting cooked by the sun, that has really got to up the nicotine in there, huh?
Are you then smoking or what?
Yeah, at that point, you might as well just light up a cigarette there, Ray, yeah, CJ. Yeah,
just get straight to it.
That's a fun thing to do, is just like any kind of patch. We would do that at the pool back in the day.
What?
Just like take like painter's tape or something, yeah, and writing your name on your chest or something like that.
Y'all would do that?
Yeah, yeah, heck yeah. Man. Like for baseball tournaments or whatever.
Yeah.
Wait, what was the painter's tape for?
You just take painter's tape, you put it on your chest. Back when I was a young boy,
yeah,
a young hairless man.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you could write L-E-E across your chest in tape. Oh. Go out there, get kissed by the sun, peel the tape off. Now you got a little. Now, yeah, you got nature's tattoo.
That's wild.
We would do that all the time.
You just cut it in your hair now?
Yeah, that's what I do now. No, man, I got crazy burnt this past week. I was close to having the worst tan line of my life for this podcast.
Really?
You might be able to see it a little bit, but I was rocking a bandana,
mm-hmm,
like Wild Hog style.
Yeah.
And I had a pretty serious line going across my head right there.
Oh, okay, I can see it.
Yeah, it's
bit.
Still kind of yeah, there. Yeah. The next day I went sans bandana and kind of evened it all out.
You did who?
Sans.
What is that?
Sans. Sans is without.
Minus the bandana.
Yeah, sans. I believe it's...
Hold on, does everybody here know that except me?
That is correct. Yes.
Sans is...
Sans. Sans.
It's also a common font, open sans.
Yes, sans. Comic sans.
Yeah.
Comic sans. Yeah, sans, you would be like, you know, I'm going to do this podcast sans glasses.
Yeah, Mike is sans bandana right now.
And you are never sans hat.
I swear, it feels like y'all doing like Duolingo. Like, this yeah. is insane to me.
Well, if that's the case, you should be able to handle it, brother.
I haven't heard, but y'all not doing it the right way, man. It's a certain doing way they
it,
teach
doing
me.
Doing it wrong, yeah, man. We got Miles. The sock tan line is an absolute classic.
Dude, I swear, that looks like me up top and you at the bottom.
That's Mike James calf Lee foot.
Miles Samuel sent in, I run a little bit, and if you're listening only, it's a picture of his, upper leg, dark, foot, very white.
Yeah.
Dude.
Mike calf Lee foot, straight up.
That's it.
Dude, golf allows for the worst tan lines in the game.
Really? Yeah.
Oh my gosh, there are some horrific golf tans out there. Guy who's out in the sun all day, mm-hmm, wears a hat. I mean, from the cheekbones down,
yeah,
it just so tan, looks like sure. leather, and then everything else completely white.
Hmm.
Yeah, not a good look.
Yeah, we have Jason Larson, Seattle, Washington, raccoon eyes from ski goggles.
Oh.
It was horrendous. Skin around my eyes, white as a sheet, the rest of my face red as a tomato.
I've had that happen.
White as a sheet, huh?
No.
They think so. So ski goggles, so that might be a bit of a snow burn as well.
Correct. That can get you when you're
snow burn
when you're
gets
out
you
there.
Serious.
Mm-hmm. The yeah. glare on the glare from the snow on your face.
Okay. I think
the sun
that
is
it,
coming down.
Is that what that is?
I think the first known case of sunglasses that humans tried to create came from, you would think it would come from like the islands or something, but it was like Inuits way up north because of the snow glare. And they found these, they were like pieces of wood or pieces of whalebone or something with these tiny, tiny little slits cut out. Mm. And it's like the first instance of an attempt at sunglasses because of the snow burn.
Did you read that?
I can't remember why I know that. That was probably like something I saw on the History Channel.
I mean, that's
20
very,
years ago.
Like, you should know where you whalebone?
Snow bones. Sunglasses. They were snow see, check it yeah. out, brother.
Well, those are images describing exactly what he said.
Yeah. You know, I throw a bunch of stuff out there, man, and I got about a 70% hit rate. But that 70%, man, I mean, you can't say I didn't nail that. A nicotine patch is 4 stamps big, and that is a pair of whalebone sunglasses.
That one picture, it looks like like an advertisement.
Yeah, the one, I see that right there.
Yeah,
I would rock those.
The first known glasses were made by...
I would rock those. I need to get a pair of
bone glasses.
Of Inuit bone glasses.
What were they doing with whale bones before they found their purpose?
Everything. They would make needles to make their clothes with. They'd use them as like weapons. They'd use them to the big ribs and stuff to help build shelters and stuff like that.
So they would
use the whole kill.
They would have a whale and then they would just use all the. I thought they were boneless. I thought fish were boneless.
Well, that's why you were a bad first mate, brother. It's because, right.
That
it's
makes
because
sense.
You
that
thought that fish
out.
Were just gelatinous creatures.
They're like ears. Ears don't have any bones in them, right? So whales
so
are like ears.
So you just thought whales were cartilage?
You thought whales were giant
just
ears.
Just made of cartilage.
Okay, fair enough.
Just that massive and no bones.
No bones.
That's you and someone hired you to go out and lead a fishing expedition.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, there's a lot of cartilage going on in there, but it's on a skeleton.
That's a good point.
Hey man, we're here to teach you guys, not just about fatherhood and parenting, but also about, you know, nature and the anatomy of fish.
Yeah. It's you want to satiate that hunger for learning.
Okay, there we go. Now we're talking. Satiate the hunger for knowledge. Fish have bones. You heard it here.
I'm going to say that word. I'm going to find a way to say that word in every episode.
Yeah. Throw a little satiate in there, man.
Can we do like some kind of like bells and whistles and like streamers? Yeah.
The satiate button. Yeah.
Every time you fit it in?
Yeah.
God, hey,
yeah.
Dude, by the way, the whole Lee uses big words thing. It's the greatest thing in the world for my mom.
Yeah.
She's proud. So proud of it, man.
Good for you.
She's so proud of it. Yeah. My mom has an excellent vocabulary and tried to bestow that upon me.
Oh, that's not here's a word but for no, you, Mike. Bestow.
Shout out to Molly. Thanks for the words, Mom.
We have a couple moms. We'll do two more of the tan lines that sent these in. So Tanya, on behalf of her husband, he made the mistake of wearing a Band-Aid out in the sun. So there is his sunburn
right on top of the dome.
Good look. And I don't even see what he was Band-Aiding.
It looks like it's a little cut right there. Maybe it's some stitches.
It's a large Band-Aid, man.
It is a large Band-Aid.
Yeah,
those are stitches.
Yeah, the whole conversation of sunscreen, sunburns, tan lines really goes to another level for a bald man.
Yes.
It's a whole different beast when you're a bald guy.
I just wear a hat.
Yeah, you're a hat man.
Yeah.
I feel bad. You can't do a visor. I had a big visor phase.
Well, that's what we were laughing about, and we knew that about you.
Yeah.
But
I kind of.
when I wore my bandana and this last weekend and burned everything minus the head, I almost went out and looked for a visor. It would have been the only time where a visor would have made sense for a guy like me.
But then you would have had like a headband.
Yeah, you know, but then we would have figured a way to even that out. But I did. I just needed a little bit of coverage while also getting this part of my head tan or burned.
Yeah.
I'm a big burn guy. Let it burn.
I think you'll go visor soon, Mike.
No, I can't do it, man. A visor?
Yeah.
Nah, it's not.
A real thin one, just a little strip.
If I still had hair, I probably would to show it off.
Yeah.
But no.
I had a big visor phase in the early 2000s. Loved a visor.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like how often were you wearing visors?
Most weekends.
Did you?
I just tried to dress exactly like Justin Timberlake, and he was a big visor guy. So
I did like the slim visor. But did you go long, sporty female visor?
No, I went cool guy visor.
Yeah,
I went cool guy visor.
Yeah.
A long, sporty female visor.
Yeah, what is that?
That's crazy.
Search it up.
Can we?
It's ladies will wear longer visors that might extend 9 inches past their forehead.
Yeah. It's like,
like an oversized, yeah. Yeah, look at those.
Ew.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
See, I would wear that. It just, I wouldn't be able to wear it really in the sun, which kind of defeats the purpose, you know?
That's what the gals, not that. the gals are wearing the long ones, and then the gentlemen wear the, George W. Bush there.
See that picture of President George W. Bush? That's the kind of visors that guys wear.
That's the kind I used to wear, yeah.
Anna's got one of those Johns that clips on the back. She was wearing that. That's a solid hat.
I don't even understand the point of a visor. Just get a hat.
Well, most people have hair. So the hair does the job of protecting the head while the brim of the visor shades you from the sun.
And it'd be tough to get a hat that extends, 9 inches out, right? Because they kind of cap it at that normal.
But just,
what's that, 4 stamps? How far out is that?
You people with your hair, you are so cocky.
Truly privileged.
I mean, they have no idea.
Truly privileged people.
To still have your hair.
Yeah.
I'd rock any of those visors right there if it made sense for your boy.
Were you in the sun this weekend, Mike? What'd you do this weekend?
We went to our normal hangouts for the 4th. Took the fam to our bishop's house during the day, and then we went over our buddy's house that night, watched the fireworks, kids got in the pool. I was cool. I was on the side doing what I do, just watching everybody have fun. And I was cool.
You just described a perfect Mike James day, brother.
That's a perfect day for me, dude. I don't think a lot of people understand. I don't need much. Just let me chill.
That is the word that I would use to describe you the most, and it is content. And content is such a good way to be. It's such a
curse word in my house. Alicia don't like content.
You don't want to be content?
She don't want to be content. It's always, we can do better.
Sure. Yeah. And of course, I'm not saying content. You could loop that in with complacency or laziness. And I don't
think
you're
either.
That's
the word, complacency. Okay.
No, yeah, you're not complacent, but you're content, man. You've got a great family and a good career, and you're happy with it. I've always described you as content.
I appreciate that.
You know, it's a good way to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
And I would imagine if your kids are happy, I felt this weekend too. I'm just watching them have the time of their lives, making great core memories.
Mm-hmm.
I'm content.
Yes, yeah. I am content. I am happy with that.
I enjoy watching them have fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Being content is not a very common trait in our business.
Mm.
You know, content does get lumped in with complacency or laziness all the time. And it's like, I'm not lazy. I'm not trying to put a ceiling on myself, but it's like, I'm pretty stoked on my life.
I'm looking at where I started, and you can do that.
100%. Looking at everything, not looking at the have nots.
Mm-hmm.
And just really taking appreciation for everything that I've got.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Content is good.
Yeah.
It's good to be content, but then to still have goals, to still want to keep pushing, right?
So I want some more.
Yeah.
I want some more. Yeah. That's human nature. We definitely want more, but in the act and desire of getting more, sometimes you can lose.
You can
rob yourself of that joy of being content and being happy with your life, mm-hmm.
And I've definitely done that. Over the years, I mean, even now, that's why I'm so, anybody with a young kid that's just starting out, I was talking to Connor about it. I'm like, man, just appreciate every moment because, you can get so caught up in what's next, what mm-hmm. do I have, I'm trying to get here, I want to do this, and you can lose sight of what's right in front of you.
And totally lose it.
And I've done that, but I do try to take inventory of everything that I've got going on and everything I've done and everything I have and just appreciate it.
Yeah, I can close my eyes and picture you sitting by the pool, not doing anything, just kind of sitting there watching everything with a little wry smile on your face.
Yeah,
man.
That's it.
It's a good way to live.
Yeah. Laying down.
Yeah,
on my left side.
Lunch. Yeah. Serving hand free.
Yeah, laying down on his left side.
That's it, man.
The Mike James way.
Yeah, man.
We were on the road, man. It feels like every other episode I talk about doing a baby road trip.
Mm.
But yeah, we were on the road. We left for Cincinnati last Tuesday. We're in Cincinnati for Tuesday and Wednesday. Popped down to Lexington on Thursday. Stayed the night there. Got some good grandparent time in. And then for the 4th, we popped down to Alabama with our friends and stayed at their lake house. And
Alabama, what part?
Coleman.
Okay.
Coleman, Alabama.
You know where that's
at? I know Coleman. Yeah, I drive through there. I do a bunch of events down in Huntsville. So Coleman's kind of halfway.
It's halfway there. It's like 50 minutes outside of Birmingham.
Okay.
And it's our boys, it's our buddies, Nick and Reed Canada.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, the movie ruiner guys. Yeah, so we were there last 4th of July, and Anna was like 5.5 months pregnant. Mm. And it just took on a much different shape than it did this year with an 8-month-old baby.
Yeah.
And no, we had a blast. Frankie's a little water bug.
Stay in the water.
She loves the water, man. Splashes around, got in the lake, got in the pool. Just, she was the star of the show, the belle of the ball, man.
That's awesome.
It was very fun. With like 6 adults there, there's nothing better than being in a house with a bunch of adults who want to help with the baby.
Right, right. Yeah.
So you can kind of duck back, lay on the couch, not do anything.
Oh, yeah. You earn those moments.
Totally.
To not have to have that be concern number one for a little bit so you can go have a conversation.
Speaking of earning a moment, our friends Zach and Malia, when we were down there, we stayed in the same like condo with them and Frankie, and we named them Frankie's godparents.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
And that was a really, really nice moment.
Yeah. That
was awesome. Very cool. Got him a little framed picture, little dual frame action.
Oh, man.
Picture with Zach and Frankie, picture with Malia and Frankie. Wrote him a nice little card. It was great.
Yeah.
It was a very nice, it was a nice moment. Don't get a ton of those.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was really, really nice.
Yeah.
Made Zach cry. God, it was great. Yeah. I want to put that out there for the internet. Zach did cry.
That's fine.
Is that Zach Townsend?
Zach Townsend,
from town here?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, Zach Townsend cried?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw him last night. You didn't tell me that, Zach.
Of course he didn't.
Yeah.
Of course he didn't, man. But it was it was beautiful weekend.
I don't know if I can see Zach crying. That's...
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to imagine him doing anything with like Ernest.
Yeah.
Everything's a bit. So it was very nice to make him feel feelings.
Yeah. Shout out to Zach, man.
That's awesome. Yeah. We went out down to the Tennessee River to our Airstream and our other camper down there. Mm-hmm. And Adrian, our producer and his family, joined us out there. So
let's go.
We had a fun weekend. There were how many kids? His 4, our 3. Two other kids, so what's
nine
that?
Kids.
Nine kids running around.
Nine kids is, who's the oldest?
Ava and Barbara, I think, are the same age. Is that right? Yeah, so they're probably
nine under 16.
Yeah. 16 and down, yeah. And we had the best time, man. It was, you know, there was kayaking, there was swim. It was very hot, so it was 95 degrees, so. But we were in the lake a lot, kayaking, swimming. We had some misting fans, so that helps a lot. Adrian built a killer fire one night, so I was very impressed fire skills. Yeah. So he nailed it. Yeah. I was inspired, I did it the next night after they had left. Not embarrass myself. It was going, but then it wasn't. So it was pretty, I can add a photo later, I guess, but it was pretty smoky, you know, and then my wife came in and saved it. She's good. Lucy's good.
Yeah.
She can save a fire. Yeah.
Well, if you guys were ever stranded on a desert island and you needed some sort of like SOS smoke signal, you're still the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
If you ever need a fire to just emanate large plumes of smoke.
That's right.
It'll get you there.
We were around the campfire. It's a little hot to be around a fire when it's 90 plus, I must say. But we had a campfire every night and playing music, you know, having a drink, all that. And then I find that whenever I'm at a campfire, someone says, hey, like, listen to the song and tell me what it means to you, right? Mm. And or someone pulls out a guitar and sings a song. And I got it. Can I be honest with you guys?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've never understood what's happening in any song ever.
Really?
Like, I'm listening.
You're just like a melody kind of rhythm guy, not a lyrics guy.
Yeah, well, especially around a fire, you have a drink or whatever, and everyone's like moved emotionally, and I just kind of close my eyes and like nod, you know, and like clap on the 2 and 4 or whatever. And
on the what? Like, on the 2 and 4.
I'm in it, but everyone's like listening, but I don't know if it's OCD or ADD, but I can't hear of the words.
Is every song just kind of the same to you?
Well, the singers always have accents, you know, and then there's like instruments that distract from, you're hearing guitars and banjos and trumpets, then how can you hear what someone's trying to tell you?
You've got song blindness.
I can't hear any of it.
song deafness.
Yeah. And this time it was, and my wife's probably told me 20 times, I think the name of the song is Lonesome Dove, Lonesome Dog.
Or Lonesome Dove.
Lonesome Dove, yeah.
Lonesome Dog.
Yeah. And we're listening, and I don't, you know, she's asked me many times over the year, we've been married almost 18 years, to understand the song. I leave it with nothing. So afterwards, I'm like, Tom, how did that feel? How'd they hit you? Good.
It's a great song.
Was it your wedding song?
No.
The reason I asked you that because Alicia pulled that on me. Like, she played our wedding song like a year after it was on our anniversary. And she was like, you know that song? And I was like,
yeah, it's a banger.
Like, I've never heard of this song. And it, like, I don't know. I just didn't. Because, you know, when you, during the wedding, during the dance, I'm not listening. I'm just trying to.
Just one.
I'm just
two,
trying to
one,
stay on.
Two.
Yeah. Yeah.
And make sure everyone's not. You
That's
know.
It. And so I didn't even hear our wedding song, but I missed it. So that could have been.
If I were to ask you what was your wedding song, how would you respond?
I would ask you not to ask me
that. Like, dang. The sandbagger.
No. Etta James. At last. Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that today, July 7th, is my one-year wedding anniversary.
Happy anniversary, right, dude. Congrats.
1 year in the can with old Anna.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man, it's awesome.
What a low-key year you've had.
Yeah.
God, it doesn't. That we were talking about that last night, just kind of going over and doing a year in review.
Yeah.
And talking about the first year of our marriage. And sometimes it feels like we've been married a decade, and sometimes it feels like we're still boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so wild. I mean, the last... It doesn't feel like 365, man. Mm. Yeah, it's been a lot. And so. I've talked about it on prior ones, but it kind of an unconventional wedding anyway. Mm-hmm. We just dipped out to Vegas, got it done in like 24 hours, came on back. And we look back on that now and it's like, God, I just don't see how she did it, man. Mm. She was a real beast, man.
Yeah, man.
So happy 1 year, Anna.
Yeah.
We're going to go get dinner tonight. Got a babysitter and everything.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know that new parent dinner, 5 o'clock reservations.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just go out, eat full dinner, come back home. Still got 2 hours of sunlight, you know, so.
Where are you going?
We're going to a place over near in the town that we live called Casper's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's over in Goodlettsville.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Want to roll out, Mike?
Well, yeah, you guys can show up.
I think they should probably do it themselves. I mean, maybe another time.
It would be awesome if you two just showed up.
Just showed up for you.
sat at the table next to us, brought a couple mics. Yeah.
No, we'll let you have it.
Yeah, like, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Tom, one day we'll go on a triple date with me, you, and my wife.
Well, I mean, Tom just offered to take us camping for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I said. I think
initially.
Lucy doesn't want us to do like an overnight with you guys, so I'm like, let's do a couple weeks. So we just kind of go all in.
Yeah.
I don't think she meant to go that way with it, though. But. Yeah.
We don't want to do an overnight and make it weird. Let's move into a trailer for a month with each other.
Oh, man. He was like, get your affairs in order. And we're gonna
clear your calendars. Yeah. We'll get a bunch of the episodes of this pod recorded, and then we'll just all take to the woods.
Yeah. We'll do it, though, one time, man.
We should.
Not 2 weeks, but yeah, we'll make it happen. At least a night.
Yeah. At least a night.
You know,
promise us a night?
If you can promise me that, like, we don't deal with spiders.
Ooh, there's a lot of bugs out there.
No. Spiders. Not bugs. I can deal with bugs. Spiders.
Yeah.
Spiders in particular.
I came home. There was a tick in my hair when I got home yesterday, so that happened.
That's an arachnid.
There were some spiders. Mike, you want to come? No, it was great. It's great. By the way, we're hitting 18 years. 18 years of marriage this year. So in a couple weeks. Yeah. So we'll hit 18 years. And how many years are you at?
17.
Yeah. All right.
Your marriage can buy cigarettes.
That's right. Yeah.
Fully legal marriage. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. Yeah. That's coming in a couple
such
weeks.
Such a weird way to look at that.
Yeah. 18.
18 years. Your marriage could buy cigarettes.
Yeah, that's true, yeah, man. Could join the military.
That's right. Yeah. An adult, full adult. If she gave birth to an adult on her wedding day, that adult would be an adult.
Amen, brother.
On her anniversary, right?
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Good math.
That made complete sense.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Thomas.
Do a lot of people plan the wedding day on birthday? Is that a common thing? I don't think so.
Just him.
Yeah, apparently just me.
Just Mike. You're
on the day of your child's birth.
Oh.
What, a wedding?
Yeah.
To get married and give birth on the same day? I can't say that's in the cards for a lot of people.
Yeah, I can't say anybody intentionally does that.
Like, up there.
Maybe after the baby's born and say, let's get married.
Saying your vows and doing Lamaze breathing.
Yeah. But like if I think back to when Alicia was going through labor, like she would not have married me if we weren't already. At that point, like, hey, you want to get married?
Couldn't have done anything. God, we were laughing. We were looking back on delivery day last night, and we forgot about this, but Anna was in active labor in the hospital that we gave birth at. Incredible. No notes. They did a great job. But there was this moment where Anna's in active labor, and this lady comes up with an iPad and like makes Anna sign a bunch of stuff and like pay.
And she's, oh my God.
Yeah, it was just a little blip in what was otherwise a very nice experience.
Yeah. For you.
Yeah, for me.
Yeah.
I was chilling. Not bad. All the jello you could eat, brother.
I don't understand what all this yelling is about.
Yeah. Everyone chill out, man. We're good.
Well, we also asked the all the dads, and I want to get your take. Maybe get your take first, but we got the community's take. Thermostat. Mm. What it's at in your house during this hot dad summer.
Hot dad summer.
It. Get ready. Yeah. You guys all said that this week. And So now the world's saying it. What, Mike, well, let's leave with you. So what's the temperature in your house? Are you in charge of the thermostat? Is Alicia?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that look like?
So I do 72. And if I'm, like, sometimes I sneak it down to 71. Sometimes I get in there and get that 71.
Get crazy.
And that's when I know when I'm going too far, because then the electric blanket will come out and you know what I mean? So I'm like, all right. This is a little cool for them. So, between 72, 71.
We're a 69 household right there. Keep it 68's a little too cold. 70, I just don't like seeing that 7 right there. 69 is where we're sitting right now. And they say for a newborn baby, 68 to 70 is where it's supposed to live.
Really?
Yeah. It needs to stay nice and cold. The ceiling fans are going.
For the baby?
Mm-hmm.
That's safe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Whenever it gets too hot, Frankie is way more restless than she even normally is.
Huh.
So we keep it nice and cold, especially this time of year.
Okay.
I think the whole world, you're out of your minds.
What do you have it at?
Well, I'll tell you in a second, but let's just think for a moment.
75 degrees.
50 years ago, there was no central air, and now you guys are just abusing it.
Yeah, I mean,
pumping it down to 68.
I'll hear you on that. You know what thought I had the other day? I was walking around my house. It was 68, 69 degrees. I go, it's cold in here. But when you go outside in the spring and it's 68, 69 degrees, not cold.
Oh, my God.
So what are we even talking about here?
I didn't think you would just go that hard on
I'm
him.
Just, you know, I'm mad. It's
yeah,
just,
I can tell.
Yeah, you're getting, yeah, calm
it's
down.
This is insane. Who grew up without central air conditioning?
Hey, man.
I would think all of us, right?
I see what your triggers are now.
Didn't have central air throughout high school, even into college, didn't have central air.
Window unit?
No, nothing.
Just ripping it.
And that's when I went hardcore into fans. Like, big time. So I, in college... So I brought two oscillating fans to college, right?
Yeah.
And I figured out my system. And that was, I had one that was like on my head, but it would oscillate to my feet. And I'm laying out like you lay out, Mike. And then, because that's how I sleep, laying down. And then the other fan starts in my feet and goes to my head, right? So these two guys are working in tandem.
Concurrently.
Yeah. So I had this like wind funnel And with excitement, I started just telling all my peers, friends about
it. It's good, but you're just doing AC without it.
There was no AC.
I understand.
You
need
a solution.
But I don't understand your disdain for current AC when you had your own system for conditioning the air yourself back before you could. Now we can. Now it's within our grasp.
It is, but like, so during my childhood, we got a attic fan. You guys ever have one of those in your house?
What is an attic fan?
This is a big deal. Like, this is the greatest gift my dad
like
could have given
in the
our
attic
family.
That sucks the air
yeah,
out?
It sucks
yeah,
the
yeah,
air
yeah,
out,
yeah. We had one of those.
And then the cool air from outside comes in.
Correct.
And that was massive. So, you know, when it was cooler at night, you know, that put the attic fan on, and then we're just, you know, sleeping by windows and air is coming in. You know, these are solutions. You know, before you guys went, all you guys went insane with your air conditioning.
And I think that that's where the C in AC comes in. I think it is like, what, conditioned air of some sort?
What if it's hot, right, and you want it to stay at 68 degrees, then the air kicks on.
Yes.
But if it's cold and you want it to stay at 68 degrees, the heater kick on.
Sure. I don't really know. We keep it at 69 degrees. Huh. We keep it at 69 degrees cold.
Jeez.
This and time then what about in the winter? 69 degrees?
No, in the winter, we pretty much just let the fireplace do the job.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't even use it.
Yeah, it's not AC. We just keep it right at 70 and then use the fire to get it up or get it down.
So you're going higher in the winter. So that's what's insane to me. So you're not even feeling the seasons. You're hotter in the winter than you are in the summer.
Correct. When it's cold outside, you want your home where your baby lives to be nice and warm versus now, dude, it's 98 degrees every day. I'm not gonna make the house hot for this little baby.
Don't make it hot, but
you want me to endanger my child.
You gotta feel the seasons, man.
Feel the seasons.
When Mike says he's at 72 degrees, you can't come at me lower than that. I put you at 75.
Okay. What's your thermostat at your house now?
It's probably at 75 right now.
That's crazy.
Brother.
And my wife had to fight to get us down there.
To get us down there? Man, you're like torturing your family on some weird hang up with technology. 75?
That's crazy.
In the summer?
Dude, y'all are both nuts. Clearly, it's just too much. It's too cold. It's too hot. I'm gonna stay in my house.
Well, don't go into my parents' house because my mom's not gonna put it on unless it's 80.
Because it's 95 degrees.
She's gonna go maybe 80. Like that's an ask. Hey, mom, can we pop it on? You know, mom and dad. But again, you know, would you guys have even lived 50 years ago? I guess not. You're just conditioned.
Man. We would have thrived. I'm going to use the technology at the time to live as comfortably as I can. So if I was alive 50 years ago, when you were alive, then, you know, I would have made it work. I would have gotten two or three oscillating fans and made some sort of wind turbine to sleep in like you did.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I would have gotten the ice truck man to come and give me a big block of ice or the milkman. Or whatever. But no, brother, I got central air, man.
Dude, that was
brag.
Wild back in the day. I wonder if they had to have a subscription for the ice.
Oh, they
did. The ice man to come by?
They definitely did.
Drop a block off?
Well, to your point, Tom, we do talk about this a lot because I'll go on a walk with Frankie and it's so hot outside and you can see her. It's like uncomfortable for her. And some doctor told me the scariest saying ever, cold baby cries, hot baby dies. I'm like, thanks for putting that in my brain.
Like, we don't have to rhyme.
Yeah,
everything.
I know.
Like,
just because it rhymes and is kind of cute doesn't just strike fear into my brain.
You remember Michael Finnegan? Remember that the old man named Michael Finnegan?
Uh-uh.
He grew fat, then grew thin again. Then he died, and that's the end of him. Poor old Michael Finnegan.
Oh, there he is. From the Wiggles?
I don't know if he was from the Wiggles. I heard this song when I was in kindergarten.
See, I never know if you're bringing up Nashville-based comedians or
you
just
know this guy,
random
man.
People.
Yeah, the lyrics
to
Michael
past.
Finnegan is crazy.
Michael Finnegan. There's an old man named Michael Finnegan. He kicked up an awful din again, not a word. Because they said he must not Sing again. Poor old Michael Finnegan.
Like this whole thing is this dude's just like the worst life ever.
And just because it rhymes, man, he lives in perpetuity.
Caught a fish, dropped it in again. Poor old Michael Finnegan.
He went fishing with a pin again.
But go to the end where he died, and that's the end of him.
Rest in peace, Michael Finnegan.
Oh, they changed it. No, there it is. Then he died and had to begin again. Well, they changed that part. Because when I was in school, then he died, and that's the end of him.
Damn, he held on to that forever.
Dude, it that's what I'm saying. Like, we don't have to rhyme everything, man. It's terrorizing kids. But anyway,
well, that's
sorry.
What I know. That's all I remember from the early days of the baby being alive is that a cold baby cries and a hot baby dies.
That's wild.
So we've got our AC set to 69 and the ceiling fan going as fast as it can. But when we go on these walks, we've got this fan. This big chargeable fan that you click onto the stroller and it blows air on her. Mm. And we talk about that all the time about it's like, it's hard to imagine babies 30 years ago. They must have just been so hot all the time.
Sitting in those cars.
Crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, the car thing freaks me out too. I go out and start my car, roll all the windows down, AC on blast, let that cook for like 5 minutes before I go out there. And now it's so hot that when you go into Kroger for 20 minutes, you come out into the parking lot, your car is cooked.
Yeah.
You got to hold her, get into the car, start it up, start the AC, roll the windows down, and then just kind of stand around a parking lot for 2 minutes. It's hot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to make sure my baby doesn't die from heat. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Well, do you tell guests if people come to your house, like, do you offer sweatshirts in the summer? Well, or do they bring their own?
No,
sweatshirt.
I mean, like,
so if it's 69 degrees,
I might throw on
a hoodie.
Yeah, what do you do?
I feel completely good and fine.
But what about your guests? Like, they come over and it's like, dude, it's freezing in here. Like,
no, the only guests that would come and stay at my house like overnight would be one of our grandparents. And
I know they say it's cold.
Mike and Molly keep their house nice and chilly.
Yeah.
Nice and chilly. Hmm. No, but like to this point, we'll go up to my in-law's house and they live like Tom. They live like savages. It's 76, 77 degrees in their house. And the baby, it's like sleeping out in the Sahara. She can't even go to sleep.
I mean, they're living like a time when everything wasn't given to them. Like Michael Finnegan.
Oh, dang. A callback rhyme. Tom the villain, dude. Man. I love this arc.
Well, let's see what the community thought. We asked the Dad's Only group. We have Andrew Montgomery, and he's a chief engineer. He's one of the great moderators in our groups, too.
He's the man. He reached out
to
me.
He's
going to
have the answers.
He messaged me.
Yeah.
Oh, he sent that video to you.
Yeah. Or he hasn't sent the video yet. He said he's going to, but he just said some nice words and said he's an admin.
Well, that's
awesome. Andrew. I can't
Shout
wait to see
Andrew.
The video. He's the guy who tore the sleeves off of his shirt.
Used it as toilet paper.
And used it as toilet paper.
Yeah.
He sent us a video explaining it more. So maybe we'll edit that together and play it back at some point.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I'm interested in that explanation.
So, but with this, he's a chief engineer. He said 72 degrees in the summer, 68 degrees in winter. I use the same numbers in the central HVAC plant at work as a chief engineer of a New York City story commercial. New York City 40-story commercial high-rise in Midtown. So 68 degrees is what my parents always did during the winter. That's always been 68 degrees, but then they want us to feel the seasons, so 78 degrees in the summer.
78?
But he's going to 72.
Dude, like...
I just don't follow the logic. Like, your domicile is supposed to be like a respite from the outside.
Oh my goodness, dude. Just say the house is supposed to be nice.
Your house is supposed to give you a break from the outside elements. 72 degrees and 68 degrees in the winter?
That's wild. That's too cold for me.
You walk in from the snow and you take off your parka and it's cold?
And you're going to have it set warmer than you do during the summer.
Yes.
Of course.
That's how I'm supposed to be.
That is the point of being able to control your environment.
Why would I want to go, like in the summertime, why would I want to go from hot into somewhere that's hot?
What are you doing in the winter, Mike? What temperature?
Winter is going to be warmer because it's cold outside. So when I come in, I don't want to be cold.
Yeah, winter is.
Just because it's the season.
Blankets. I'll say air off. You know, it's not like we're like pumping in heat all the time.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, winter is when your house is warmer.
I didn't even know y'all did all it. Like this is all I need. Like 72 degrees, winter and summer. Like that's, I just flip it from heat
I can ride
to,
with that.
To cool.
That's content right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
That's being content. That man knows his environment, knows what he likes.
Like just from I just switch the heat or cool.
I'm very interested to hear some of the discourse on this episode, just because Andrew is like an expert.
Yeah.
He's like an HVAC CEO or chief engineer for a big old building. It's like,
is he saying that's in his house though? Or is he, oh, okay. He's using it at work too.
Because he's probably like, that's what they have to do at work. That's how you maintain a big building is he uses the same thing at home.
That's just.
The same temperature.
I mean, listen, for efficiency, that does make sense. Like, I don't know, like 68 degrees, you're using less energy.
What do you think Keith Sager means? He said, nice try, FBI. Hey, man, that's a guy on my wavelength right there, but what do you think he means?
Nice try, FBI. All right.
I believe he's responded to a couple of our questions the same way, so just might be his go-to.
It's a nice bid there, Mr. Sager. Yeah. He goes, yeah, I bet you want to know what I keep my house at,
sure,
don't
that's
you?
What you want.
Yeah, I feel that, man.
What's your on a super hot summer day? What's your go-to outfit? What are you wearing outside?
Oh man, I'm wearing 8-inch inseam shorts right above the knee.
What material?
You know, soft
cotton.
Yeah. I don't know. Cotton. Ideally, cotton.
It's most breathable.
Yeah, I wear as much cotton as I can, but it's a little more expensive and a little bit harder to find.
Says the guy wearing linen.
Says the guy wearing linen from Target. It's probably mostly plastic. You know, but no, I'm just wearing some little high shorts, little shirt.
Yeah.
Tucked in. Flip-flops.
Sleeveless shirt or no?
No. No.
Mike, what's your go-to? It's hot outside. What are you wearing?
T-shirt, basketball shorts.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm barefoot as often as I can be. Barefoot around the house.
Okay.
Barefoot out in the yard. Unless I'm like getting into it and doing some work.
Grounding? Is that what you're
grounding.
Trying to do?
Love that. Complete the circuit, baby.
Do you do that?
I'll do it a little bit. I did it. I used to do it when I traveled, but then it got awkward. Like I go out to like a hotel and they have one little patch of grass and standing there and just like, you know, taking in the sun. And
I've been that guy
strange.
In so many cities.
Yeah.
Just standing right off the sidewalk where there is grass. Staring up at the sun. About
so you feel like you got to do this every day? You can't wait until you get back home?
I try to ground every day, but I think grounding on the road is even more beneficial.
Really?
Especially in our line of work.
Really?
Where you got to get up and win the hearts of the people that live there. I think it's important to kind of ground with that area.
Hmm.
Yeah. Give it a shot. Give it a shot.
I may have to try that.
Yeah.
Me and Tom are going to go out and ground after this episode, and we're going to barefoot, hold hands, touch foreheads, really get it going.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to watch.
We're really going to get it going.
Yeah, but I'm the same. Kind of basketball shorts. Yeah, T-shirt. But I'm required to wear black.
Just
because I'll sweat. If I wore that shirt that you're wearing, or like a color,
sweat
man, armpits are going right away. You know, back seconds behind. So that shows real fast.
I've found I'm really not, I guess I'm not that sweaty of a guy.
Yeah.
The sweatiest part of me is my head.
Oh, yeah.
A bald man's head sweats. If I walked into your house at 75 degrees,
dude,
my head would be sweating.
Just give me a towel.
Everything else would be dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, stop sweating too.
I mentioned it earlier from my gnarly tan line, but this I have deemed this, along with Hot Dad Summer, it is also the summer of the bandana for me. I've been wearing a bandana, which I really enjoy.
What kind of bandana?
Just a regular square green bandana. You turn it into a triangle, wrap it around your head, tie it. Feels great. Dress like Melissa Etheridge. I look good.
Yeah. I only did bandanas when I was cycling for a little bit. And then I put the bandana under the helmet.
Love
and
that.
And that helped absorb sweat.
Love that.
That's about it to that story.
We got
to
get Tom a do-rag.
That would do you good.
Get Tom some waves.
What is a do-rag? Is that? Is it the same as a bandana?
It's a little different. A little different.
I'm not going to lie to you. I couldn't tell you like the nuanced differences between a bandana and a do-rag, but I do know that they're different.
I don't think do-rag would do anything for your hair.
Thank you.
No, I'm just saying, if you may notice a little different with the band, with the do-rag.
I can see a difference now.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
We're looking at it. Yeah. It's a pretty obvious difference.
I don't think a do-rag would help your hair.
Yeah.
But you can try it.
Thank you.
That's what I'm going to do this winter.
What?
Coming to Life of Dad podcast this winter, I'm going to grow my hair out and start wearing a do-rag.
Dude, can you grow your hair out for real?
It grows to like right there is where it stops.
Oh, okay. I was going to be so hot at you.
Oh, no, no, no.
I thought you were one of those people that cut your hair off.
The Stolen Valor bald guys? Yeah. That really.
You know what?
Really
I never looked at it like that. It is Stolen Valor. Yeah.
It's Stolen Valor. A guy with like a fine head of hair.
Say you cut your hair off and went bald.
Right. Then I'm Stolen Valor?
Yes.
Stolen Valor.
Stolen Valor.
You didn't earn it. You didn't earn this baldness.
No, you go fully bald when you are smited by God and your hair starts to fall out naturally.
God, I didn't say that.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate it, big guy. I'm just saying. Yeah. No, you can't rock this look unless you have gone through the trenches.
Yeah.
I did during COVID. I had, because the kids started cutting my hair and that got a little messy. So then we had the transition. So we went full mohawk.
Okay.
So I did mohawk and then I did mustache like you. It's the only time in my life I've grown out of stash.
Love it.
So I had mohawk and stash. Hmm. It looked all right.
You
could do it.
Yeah.
You got some serious facial hair.
Yeah.
You should grow out another mustache. Buzz cut's different. If you went with a buzz cut in the summer, that's fine.
Yeah.
But like
deal with somebody getting a buzz cut, but don't do this if you don't have to.
Yeah. I did buzz cuts a lot of summers. That was just my thing for a while, you know, throughout college into my 20s. Just buzz it all off in the summer.
Same.
Who cares?
Same.
Yeah.
I rocked a buzz every summer from like 8 years old until I started losing all of my hair, man. You know?
Yeah.
It's my colics, though. You know what those are?
Yeah.
I got a couple of them, and they kind of, then I have like little mini bald spots. So,
cowlick.
Colic? Oh, okay. Colic is a crying thing.
Colic is a crying baby.
Cowlick.
But you knew what he was saying.
Yeah.
It's spelled like cowlick.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Colic. Cowlick. Yeah. So I've got a couple of those.
I always thought it was a cowlick.
A cow lick.
Yeah, I always thought it was a cow lick.
Like a cow comes up, licks
and licks your hair. That's what.
Now your hair is messed up.
Yeah,
there.
That's what I thought.
That's
it was.
That's got to be what it's from.
I guess.
Right?
You thought it was what? What was it? A cow?
Colic.
Colic. Yeah. Colic.
A colic
yeah.
baby.
But I don't. I haven't been licked by a cow.
Not yet.
Right. Play your cards right.
Not yet.
Cow lick. Yeah. So they show. They pop. They showed off when I buzz cut my hair.
Mm.
But you know. What about sunscreen? Are you putting that on the baby?
Not yet. No. It's a weird thing. Like the baby, even if you look it up, different things will tell you that a baby between like in the first year of its life, you shouldn't put sunscreen on it because their skin is still so sensitive and absorbent of everything. And there's all these weird chemicals in sunscreen. So with a baby under one, you're supposed to just utilize shade and like sleeves and sun hat and all of that stuff. And then that just strikes me as odd because it's like, so 12 months old and under, the sunscreen is not good for them. But then 13 months old, you're like, lather this baby up in the chemicals and stuff.
Yeah.
So we go back and forth with that. I'm not a big sunscreen guy. I'm a big bucket hat, bandana, sun shirt. Mm-hmm. In and out of the sun, stuff like that.
You wear a sun shirt?
Mm-hmm.
You swim?
No, I mean, not all the time. I will pop it off. I mean, I got
They go to guns.
Yeah, come on now.
Yeah.
I got some serious sun this weekend. On the 4th, I was just ripping it. I was out in the sun and in the pool and in the lake, and then would take a break in the shade for a little while, kept a bucket hat on or a bandana. But no, I never lathered myself up with the sunscreen.
The world has turned on sunscreen.
The world has turned on sunscreen the same way it's turned on like red dye 40 and all the weird preservatives and everything. And I think it's worth a conversation, you know, at least worth looking into.
I've been all in on sunscreen, like in. Yeah. 100%, 110% for years.
Where now,
I don't know if I'm
now?
All wrong. I mean, I still do it. I have a lot of moles, so they could be precancerous. So I've been told to, you know.
I'm a moly man as well.
So I gotta be careful about that. How many? I got probably.
I've got several. Well, I've got this one on my stomach that, like, you can just see through a shirt. That's been with me since middle school.
Sticks out.
That's my guy. Yeah.
I got the US of A on my elbow.
Oh, yes, you do. Right there.
See that right there, Mike? Show it to camera.
The sunscreen thing and all of the information that is coming out now about some of the like toxicity of the products that we've used forever. I'm glad that it is out there, but I understand why it irks people to just tell a generation of people that sunscreen's poison. It actually is the cause of skin cancer, blah, blah, blah. And your skin is your biggest organ and it's soaking up all these chemicals. And it's like, all right, thanks for that information. But what about the millions of parents who lathered their kids up in the stuff every summer? It's like, I understand why there is some apprehension and some pushback because we, whatever, however you want to phrase it, fell victim to it for so long. And now they just come out and be like, oh, you should rethink this. And you've got all these people that are like, okay, well, so what? I was just like poisoning my kid with the food and the sunscreen for years. It's like, it's complete BS. I feel
what you're saying. But what's the alternative? Should they like not tell?
No. I mean, I guess it's good that it's coming out now, but I mean, we were just kind of fed a bunch of crap for a very long time.
Now
it comes out, and how are people supposed to react, you know?
We don't know. My wife is very against sunscreen now, and you know, sun is, and as we all know, the sun is good for you and vitamin D and all that, whereas I still kind of hold on to, so it's kind of ongoing, but you know, certain types might be okay for it. I hate sunburn so much. I do everything to avoid. I'd rather sit in the shade, but if I'm going to be in the sun, I'm going to put on some sunscreen.
Yeah. I've never been sunburned. Sounds uncomfortable.
My mom was a big sunscreen mom, and it's because she thought that she was protecting me. And thank you for that, mother. But my grandparents on both sides, staunchly against sunscreen. The older generation, like the boomers' parents, they were and my grandfather was an ENT, you know, and he was like, sunscreen causes rickets. Rickets is a disease where you like That's don't get enough sun.
That's a wild disease.
And it's a weird thing. And then there's like all of the ecological side effects of sunscreen. Yeah. Everybody lathers up with sunscreen, goes and hops in the lake or goes and hops in the ocean, all of that. Sunscreen goes into the water, kind of messes that whole ecosystem up. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of it, whether you're out there using sunscreen or not. Once Frankie turns one next summer, I'm sure that is something that we will revisit. Mm. But
so, So you made me think of something. I'm going to ask y'all, this is a change of subject, but Scooby, like yesterday, his driver's permit came in the mail.
Nice, big day.
It is a big day. But the thing is, so me and Alicia, we got our trauma from like early, you know, I lost my mom in a car wreck. She lost her brother in a car wreck.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, anything around, but at the same time, I don't want to be a helicopter parent.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I don't want to be just, I know he's got to, you know, get out and do his thing with his friends and, you know, live his own life. But
of course,
man, I don't know how much to.
You don't know how to navigate this.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't, dude. It is the scariest thing, but I gotta let him do it. But it's like, the good thing is now is like with technology, stuff like we have Life 360. So like when he says he's going wherever, like I'm watching him the whole way. But I don't know, man. I feel like, I feel like it can be a little too much.
Well, now it's this whole new fear and worry that you have on your heart forever now.
Yeah, yeah,
forever. Yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of seems like what parenting is, right?
And you know what it is, too? I think about how, like, at times, not all the time, but there were times where we were, as kids, we were being irresponsible with driving.
All the time.
Now, you know, luckily enough, we nothing happened, but it could have. You see what I'm saying? So it's like that kind of stuff right there is what makes me nervous, and I don't know how to.
Can you give him like and maybe you've done this already, but I have a friend who did this with his son, just a perimeter at first. You can only go a couple miles away, you know, stay in your neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he, you know, he can't drive on his own right now, but he does have friends that have licenses. So, you know, letting him ride with them, it's scary, dude. It is freaking me out. And
well, the closeness with your mother and your brother-in-law.
Yeah.
It's right there. It's like touched your lives, dude, in a major way already.
Yeah, dude. Like it's, so it's just this little time right now is tough. But I mean, like every time he rides with his friends, I get a little more comfortable with it. And so it's getting over him riding with his friends. Now I'm about to have to get that feeling where he's driving himself. And that's another, yeah. But you're right, perimeters, starting off, and that'll be the key.
Well, there's really nothing that you can do other than just get used to that feeling.
Pray, a lot of prayer.
Yeah, a lot of prayer. Yeah. And maybe it seems like, you know, you and Scooby have an excellent relationship. Seems like even for like a young man, he still does kind of respect you.
Yeah.
So, which is a win.
It is.
A lot of young men don't.
Yeah.
Or they do, but they don't at least act on it.
Yeah.
So maybe just getting in his head and being like, hey, by the way, man, just know.
Yeah.
Just know that we're thrilled for you, and we are proud of you, and we have faith in you. But please be careful. Please be careful.
Yeah.
You know?
It's got to be tricky, because I'd imagine you don't want him to feel the same pain that you feel.
Right, right.
The closeness.
Right.
But also understand the importance of safety.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a tight rope to walk, but we'll get through it, man. I don't know. You're talking about
the sunscreen and
just being like not wanting to, you know, it started making me think like, am I trying to be too much on him? Like, you know what I mean? Watching him too
closely. No, you're not.
Yeah.
No, I would imagine what father doesn't feel like that once their kid can legally be in control of like, you know, a giant vehicle like that. It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary. I feel that way right now with Frankie and food. We're giving her little pieces of food now. And I'm like, what have we done?
Right, right.
This responsibility is too great.
Yeah.
You know, she's just gumming on a piece of apple.
Yeah.
And I just kind of just stare at her the whole time. I'm like, what happens when? Yeah. So I think that's what parenting is.
Mm.
It's just wrangling the fear.
Yeah.
Wrangling the fear and overcoming the fear of giving your child to the world. Because that's ultimately what we have to do, right?
Get them ready.
I'm way far away from that, but I already stay up at night thinking about giving her away to the world.
Yeah, dude.
Want them as prepared as possible for the world. I find, but then also, you have some parents that are really strict, but I still want them to be my friend throughout their 20s and 30s, right? So it's that fine balance.
Totally.
Both, hopefully.
Yeah, man, it's tough.
The families that have somehow pulled out both and are great friends still with their kids that are successful human beings. That seems to me, at least, to be
walking
the goal.
That line. Would you, if you knew you could, how much of your friendship with your kids would you sacrifice in order for them to be safer and more successful?
All of it.
Yeah.
All of it.
You would.
Just
if you could if you could wave a magic wand and guarantee that this kid is safe and successful and his life is put together, you would sacrifice them liking you.
Yeah. 100%.
I think a lot of dads do feel like that.
Yeah.
And I think that that is like kind of what the modern dad kind of paradox is now.
It is.
Where it's like, you know, because every dad could just be like Joe Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, know? Right.
Every dad used to be like Joe. Yeah. I'm not your friend.
I'm here to
make sure that you're all right. And it's like, and that had its negative consequences and its positive consequences. And now,
to your point, it's like you, if you could guarantee it,
yes,
like I would do it,
but you can't. But you can't.
And that's been proven that you can't guarantee that that's the right way to do it.
Totally.
So yeah, I mean, I would if I could, but I can't. So I've seen how it's messed up. Like you see the how traumatic it is when they turn into adults and they don't have that relationship with their parents.
Totally.
And not friends with them. So, yeah, you don't want that side of it either. So
the great dad experiment.
Mm.
It's what we're doing right now.
Mm.
I know it. I'm at the very, very early beginnings of
yes,
it, man.
Sir.
You are. It's a journey, yeah. But it's fun.
That was a very thoughtful question, which I'm going to think about. Mm. Yeah, what percentage friendship versus, you know,
what would you
success?
Give? What would
you
give up?
It, right?
So, yeah. Nothing is guaranteed.
But wait, are you saying you can guarantee it in this hypothetical?
No, you can't. In this hypothetical, you can wave a magic wand. You can trade your child looking at you as a friend and someone that they admire and look forward to sitting down and having a meal with. You can trade that for their security and success and safety.
God, you know what? Now, I mean, hearing it again, dude.
I don't know if I do.
When I'm thinking about it again, I'm thinking about how like close I feel to my kids. Like, I don't know that I could do that.
And you also, it's like in this hypothetical where it's a guarantee, then you are kind of robbing them of life to a certain extent. Because going out and failing and messing up and getting into trouble, it's a whole part of it. It's just as much a part of it as the good parts.
So then, oh my gosh, dude, this is getting too deep. So then are you being selfish if you say, I'll sacrifice our friendship so you can, I know it doesn't look on the surface like that's being selfish.
Yes.
But ultimately what you're saying is, I want this for you.
Yes, and it's like, and dads can kind of do that a lot where they can kind of like martyr themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What is a secure and safe and happy life if you hate your dad? It's like, what is that even? That's not a victory, you know?
Yeah. All right, dude.
See, I don't know. So I don't know if we're going to put sunscreen on her.
Yeah. To circle back around.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to follow her around her whole life with an umbrella.
God,
and all that sunscreen that went into the lakes and the rivers is what gave whales bones.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a nice callback, brother.
That's how we got sunglasses. There you go.
That is a
we figured
nice
it out, fellas. Yeah.
What came first, the sunglasses or the
or the whale bones?
We have a couple comments from last week's episode. We have Matt Goodell on YouTube said, what can you not get rid of? What can you not throw away? I cannot get rid of tools. Doesn't matter how many of a particular tool I have. I just might need that particular screwdriver someday.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always keep every little piece of IKEA furniture that we get. You know,
oh,
the little Allen wrench.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that. Yeah,
I got 30 little Allen wrenches of every size.
I've got them Ziploc bagged with the instructions to that IKEA piece.
That's some next level dadding right there.
The extra pieces.
Dude, I wouldn't expect you to have anything different.
Yeah, that is strong work, Tom.
Yeah.
There ain't a piece of furniture in this on this land that you can't put together over a week and a half.
This guy, the Nate Taylor, he's a big Nate Land fan, and we love him, have him as a fan of this show. Sure tell signs you're not a country boy. Never witnessing a birth of any animals or using leaves as toilet paper.
That would be me.
Lee, my man, is country, and so am I.
Yeehaw, Nate.
Never seen a animal birth. I didn't know that made you country, but...
Witnessed many a birth, used many a leaf. That's me, straight up.
Many a leaf.
Many a leaf.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For the bathroom.
Really? You have?
Mm-hmm.
That's wild, dude.
Yeah. And you go inside your 68-degree air-conditioned home.
Yeah, hey, man, I'm a man of multitudes.
Off. Here's the question. Do you find the leaf before or after?
Kind of during. That's a great question, actually. But I would say during.
How?
If you are going to the bathroom in the woods, not a lot of planning is involved.
Yeah, I get
so
that
So you
part.
Might have like 10 to 15 seconds where you're scoping around, seeing the biggest leaf possible, making sure it's not poison ivy.
Or dry. Right, I would.
Yeah,
I would
dry is not good either. Dry is bad.
Yeah,
that's like negative ply toilet paper. That's not what you need, man. So I would say during the act, you're kind
of you're doing the old scoot and reach.
Yeah, scoot and reach. yeah, the old scoot and reach. Really activating those quads.
Yeah, you got to get in there.
Getting the quads activated.
We have, and thank you all for these comments, for watching on YouTube. Leave the comments on YouTube and on Instagram and on Spotify. We have. Illa Ryu, describe the t-shirt your wife begged you to throw out. I love this one as a Mets fan. My dad bought me a Doc Gooden shirt when we went to a Mets game. They did not have my size. I was a kid. He got me an XL. I wore that same shirt as pajamas and a t-shirt all the way through my childhood and into my early 30s. Met my wife after, so she never got to lust after me in that shirt. She got there a few years too late.
I love that.
She missed out. Doc Gooden. That dude had an arm.
Yes, he did.
Great pitcher.
Yeah, man.
Great pitcher.
1986 Mets.
The Miracle Mets.
World Series champions.
No, I've got some stuff like that around the house. That's another thing why we save t-shirts is so that Frankie can have them. And that's like another parent ego thing coming into play.
Like this,
where I'm just like, God, she is going to love this Zanies t-shirt in 40 years. You know, it's going to mean so much to her. But hey, man, I'll at least give her the choice.
Yeah.
Give her the choice. And then Lucy commented, the first lady of the podcast. Mm-hmm. She said, thank you for the beautiful words regarding her amazing sister, Jerry. She was truly an angel among us, and we miss her terribly. Amen to that.
Amen.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Right. It was thanks, Lucy. That's my wife, Lucy, that wrote in. And she might have texted it to me. Actually, that was a YouTube comment.
That was a straight up comment.
Look at that. Yeah.
That was good.
I guess that's a good way to sum it up. Like we did last week, no man is a failure that has friends. That was the mission of our dear sister Jerry there. Mm-hmm. And friendship and love and time while you have it here is what it's all about.
Yes. And also it's okay to not experience the seasons in your own home.
Mm.
because you experience them every time you walk outside.
I've never heard that before, experiencing the seasons.
Well, you should just move, Mike, if you don't want seasons. Just go to San Diego.
But I'm just saying, I'm good where I'm at. I just don't want the seasons in my house. That's fair.
Yeah, that you got indoctrinated by your homeless friends out in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
They're like, your house has to be the seasons. If it snows, open the window.
Like, you know what? You're
sleep
right.
In an igloo in your own room.
Oh, man.
Yes. Well, thank you all for listening. Thank you for watching. Send us a message. Send us voicemail, 857-DAD-CHAT. Gentlemen, good to see you as always.
Love you, brother.
Yeah. Have a great July.
Have a great July.
Good luck. That's crazy.
Goodbye.
Have a great July.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps, Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.